It is so good to have you today. You're joining listeners coast to coast on the radio here in the United States, and from here all the way around the world on this podcast. This week I have introduced you to a very important word in the Bible, and that is the word repent. In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist preaches repent. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus preaches repent. And so what does it mean to repent? We know from the Word of God that God commands repentance in all of us, and so we had better know what He means by it. And last time I said to repent means that we repent with our whole being, our emotions, our minds, and our wills. And so let us begin today by focusing on how to repent within our emotional being. So we begin to define repentance as God does here, and the reason we begin with our emotions is because that is the sphere within which the Old Testament defines what it means to repent. We repent with feeling towards God. We repent with feeling. Repentance is not something new to the New Testament. No, since sin entered the world, God has always commanded that people everywhere repent. In the Hebrew language, there are two words for the English word repent that we will deal with. The first is the word nacham, and I'm doing my best to pronounce this, so to my Jewish friends tuning in, I apologize if my Hebrew pronunciation needs work. Nacham. This word means to have sorrow, to be sorrowful, grieved, and regretful. The word has deep feeling, emotion, and expression. It means to breathe deeply and to sigh in sorrow and in grief. Something like this. I repent, Jesus. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm grieved by my sinfulness. I regret it, Lord. This is what the Jews understood repentance to mean. Repentance is an expression of the emotions. One repents in the emotions. Let's look at some biblical examples. And a word on logistics here is necessary. What I will do is post all of these scripture references to God is W-E-Z-E on Facebook. That's God is W-E-Z-E on Facebook. You can read them there, or just write to me and I'll send them to you. This way you can be sure and have the passages for your reference without having to worry about writing them all down or missing any of them. All right, let's start with Job. The Old Testament book of Job is really a book about repentance. Unfortunately, we do not have time now to explore this, but when you read Job, you'll see it. Remember with me Job chapter 42 and verse 6. This is Job 42 verse 6. Job says, "Therefore I retract and I repent in dust and ashes." That word repent in Hebrew is nacham. I retract, holy God. I repent out of the depth of my emotion. I am sorrowful, grieved, and regretful. This is what the man Job expresses to the Almighty. And notice also how the repentance results in action within Job. Emphasize in your mind that Job repents, says the Bible, in dust and ashes. In dust and ashes. Job not only feels repentant, but he expresses repentance to God by doing something. He is not the only one who does this, as we shall see. Job is contrite in his spirit. He's disgusted with himself for presuming on God. Job called God unfair, but the Lord never lacks justice. And so the man Job repents by sitting amidst the pile of dust and ashes. He's genuinely sorry and authentically grieved by his sin, and then he expresses his sorrow. He expresses his grief to God. Next, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 19. I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bible as I give you some context on the verse I want to read. So flip around in your text to the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah and put a finger at chapter 31. Jeremiah 31. In this stretch of his writing, the prophet is speaking of how Israel is finally, at long last, preparing to repent of their sin against God. And by Israel here, the Bible means Ephraim, one of the major tribes of the northern kingdom. If you've studied Jeremiah, then you know how this tribe has immersed itself in the worst kind of sin. It was very bad. However, in the mercy and grace of God, there would be a remnant, a small group of God-fearers that would repent of their sin, pleading with the Lord for mercy. And listen now to Jeremiah's description, chapter 31 and verse 19. For after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated because I bore the reproach of my youth. Did you hear the word repented? That's our Hebrew word. There is real grief here. Jeremiah adds, I was ashamed and also humiliated. Yes, to repent means that one is ashamed of their sin and is thoroughly humiliated before holy God. I'll come back to reflect on this with you in a moment, but first, I want you to catch that Jeremiah says that an action was spoken of to show how repentant the believers in this tribe will be towards God. Jeremiah 31:19 says, I smote on my thigh. Huh? What does it mean to smote on one's thigh? This is a Hebrew expression that presents an image of grieving and mourning. And that is exactly what repent means. I'm so upset over my sin that I actually grieve. I mourn as one would a dead person. Friends, this is what Jesus addresses in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, when in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4, he says, Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5:4. This is mourning over sin, and the comfort comes by way of repentance. Now, this may upset you because you've been using that verse at memorial services and funerals for years. You quote Jesus as you comfort someone who lost a loved one. But Jesus is not primarily discussing sorrow over physical death, but rather deep sorrow over spiritual death, which comes from sin. Let me circle back now to shame and humiliation. When Christians do not have a biblical understanding of what it means to repent, then even Christians do not feel in the emotional basin of the soul shame and humiliation. We don't. But when we come to know how God defines repentance and we experience true repentance, then we absolutely feel ashamed and humiliated. When you begin to comprehend how awful your sin is, you'll experience what Jeremiah writes about. The Bible is confident that you will. Unfortunately, the way many believers learn to express shame and humiliation is when they get caught sinning. How easy it is to lust after women in private, staring at pornography when you are certain that no one is looking. But how would you feel, or how did you feel, when someone you didn't know was home walked in on you? Once caught, the emotions of shame and humiliation immediately kick into high gear, and your face goes bright red and your heart sinks. Why? You got interrupted sinning. Or you were in the middle of tearing down someone, I mean really right in the center of some juicy gossip, when all of a sudden you realize the person you're talking about is right behind you and heard everything. This is why you are careful to always look around you when maligning someone in public and or to check your phone and make sure it's off if you're talking behind someone's back, even in the privacy of your own home. You do not want to get caught and feel the emotion of shame. But what even people who trust in Christ as Savior fail to understand is that God sees all. He's always watching. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And so what do we feel before Him when we sin? The repentant sinner feels ashamed and also humiliated, just like the remnant Jeremiah speaks about in chapter 31. This is what repentance is. And so let me ask you, do you grieve over your sin? Do you grieve over your sin? No? Then you are not in the act of repentance. You have not repented. Yes, you do grieve. Then I submit to you, you are in the act of repentance. You have repented. Grief is related to our sin. When we sin, we feel grieved. And note that this Hebrew word, to have sorrow, to be sorrowful, grieved, and regretful over sin is not speaking of some sort of engineered emotional outburst that you create within yourself for the purposes of saying, see, oh yes, I repent. You cannot fake genuine repentance before God, even if you can fool the folks at your church. The Bible is not talking about play acting, like an actor or actress on TV, tears streaming down one's face, sighing deeply and looking downcast towards the ground. No. Theologian R.C. Sproul said, true repentance is not like the child who gets caught with his hand in the cookie jar and starts crying, shaking his little head and saying, I am so sorry. I will never do it again. No, that's faking repentance. Of course little Jimmy is going to find that jar and get his paws right back in there if he can. To repent, as God defines it, is to mean it. It is to turn your back on the sin that has entangled you, to cut the cords permanently and move forward towards God, leaving your sin far behind you. And so I ask again, are you grieving in and with your emotions over your sin? Am I? This is the question we need to really be honest in answering today, and what we have done is to cover the first of two key Hebrew words for repent. In Matthew 3 and 4, when John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ preach repent, this is what they mean. And next time we'll take a look at the second Hebrew word. In preparation, not just for tomorrow, but for this whole discussion on repentance, I commend to you Psalm 51. Read and meditate on Psalm 51, which is the Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet confronted him with David's sin of committing adultery with Bathsheba and then murdering her husband to cover up his wretched sin. Hunker down with the Bible before bed tonight, or read this before you go out the door to work the night shift. Psalm chapter 51. And as you read, mark all the evidence that David was sorrowful and grieved by his sin. Where in this psalm do you see Nachem, that David did repent? Do this Bible study and then come back tomorrow for more about repentance, right back here on God Is.